Alt NPR.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Right now, you can't be reading Publishers Weekly every week and looking at book lists and looking at all the industry journals, you know, the trade journals, and not have graphic novels in your face all the time.
That's Mark Siegel, editor of First Second, a new graphic novel imprint from Holtspring Publishers. A few weeks ago, I came across First Second's first six books on the shelf of a local bookstore. Now, I've been a comics geek my whole life, so it was a breathtaking experience to see a major publisher not only committed to putting out great graphic works of literature, but to making sure the comics medium finally gets its due in the American marketplace as well. I visited Mark Siegel at his office in the Flatiron Building in New York City, where we talked about his new books and the strategy and vision behind First Second.
I started off in the Holtzbrink world in a very different way than say, a committee deciding to set up something. I had actually put together a vision for what I felt needed to happen in America or wanted to happen in America in a way that would go way beyond, you know, a kind of timid little tryout by a big publisher, which a lot of them are doing. You know, they're putting one or two graphic novels in their line. And I said, when this idea of an imprint was proposed to me, the first thing I said was, okay, I don't think we can do this with an eyedropper. I think it has to be done with a fire hose. It needs to go in a bold way, and we need to, you know, have a run to set up several shelves worth of a presence that's wide-ranging and eclectic and speaks to many, many different markets.
A few things stand out about First Second's books. They all share a 6x9 format, making them smaller than the graphic albums popular in France. They could easily go with cargo pants or a business suit. They look and feel like books. And while that might sound like an absurd compliment, understand that American publishers have been trying to make graphic novels feel like books for over two decades now. Mark Siegel says that a lot of rethinking went into First Second, and that the press will be doing many things differently.
First Second is doing a few things very unique and very different in this field. One is we have a totally international talent pool. So you're going to see the people that are on board as creators at First Second, there's going to be a very strong core of American talent and also from the UK. And they're going to be coming into our catalog much stronger way starting next year. But we also have people from France. There's some people coming from Asia. So there's one is the international. That's one pillar of the First Second temple, if you like. And then another one is the fact that we're going for all different age groups. And one of the things I think graphic novels do probably better than anything, barring the Harry Potter exceptions, is blur age categories. So we're making sure in every list that we're not just going, like Pantheon goes, for a really adult market, or Scholastic goes for a very young market. We're going for all of it. And we're building, the idea is we're building, if you picture First Second a few years down the road, or if I picture it, I have a wall of shelves, and they're packed full with books, all at a very high quality standard of quality, but within that, there's something for every age. You can walk up to that wall, whoever you are, whatever your age is, find something just right for you and grow up with us. That's part of the vision.
First Second will be publishing 12 books a year. Mark Siegel modestly claims that it will take a while for First Second to come into its own and prove to the marketplace what graphic novels are capable of.
We are actually trying to go for a 360-degree panoramic view of the possibilities of graphic novels. And that, I think, is going to distinguish us. And it's going to take time to show what that is. You can take, on the one hand, something like Stassen's book, which is Deo Gracias, A Tale of Rwanda. And that just came out in our first list. And you're looking at, it's fiction, but I mean, this guy is the real article. He lives in Rwanda with his family. You know, I call him on the phone and tell him there's an email coming. And he says, oh, well, we should have electricity on Thursday. I'll go to the hotel next door where there's an internet connection, you know. And so this, is, I mean, that's just an anecdote on the side, but it's actually I believe a major, major book, an important event of a book. This is something, you know, especially in America, where Africa sometimes seems like another planet. We know very little about it. This is really one of the darkest chapters of human history, and it's done brilliantly. I think the writing and the artwork are really, really major talent at work here. So we have that on the one hand, and then you can go from that, and in our same list, you have Sardine in Outer Space, you know, which is goofy, zany space adventures, these short little stories, and we're hearing back from these 8, 9, 10-year-old girls who are totally enthralled with this, and we're hearing stories how they keep it under their pillow, how they're taking it to school, and that's the start of a series by Guibert and Sfar, and that, you know, from France. So you put those two books together, you think this is, you know, this can't be the same list, you know, and then yet again you've got Grady Klein doing The Lost Colony, and you've got this thing that's a little bit like Asterix was when it started. It's rooted in history, but it's for America, this one. And it's in this 19th century island that's cut off from the rest of the country, and there's this whole gallery of characters, and it's a little bit like The Simpsons in the sense you can read it at many levels. Different ages will get different things out of it. But, you know, it starts off with this very sweet little girl called Birdie, looking all innocent and adorable, and she's saving up money, and she's wondering how she can afford one, and you don't know what she's talking about until a few pages later you turn the page and you see what she's holding in her hand is a poster for a Negro slave auction, and you and this guy really is pressing some nerves and going after America's demons in a sense. And so you have this series that's beginning where he's touching on slavery, on corporate greed. The second book, which is beautiful, all takes place in winter on the island, amazing artwork. And that's going to deal with war profiteering, you know. And so there's a very current, topical thing running through that. But again, you know, you put that next to the other two titles I just mentioned, or next to Jean Sfar and his Vampire Loves, which is, you know, basically this pretty pathetic, hopelessly romantic vampire, you know, going from one disastrous relationship to another. And it's a whole different mode. You know, there's this poetry running to it, this melancholy. And that will speak to probably older readers, I think, college and up. Or then we have our postmodern entry in the field from Eddie Campbell, which is, I mean, right now getting a firestorm of interest on the web. There's just so much talk about this book, The Fate of the Artist. And it's each one of those really represents an avenue in the possibility of the graphic novel. And I have to mention the sixth title, which is Alien, by Louis Trondheim, who's a kind of phenomenal French creator. And Alien is the first extraterrestrial comic book ever published on Earth. And it's untranslated. It's actually in an alien language, which somewhere there's right now some 11-year-old boy trying to decipher. And he'll get it, I'm sure. He keeps trying. But, you know, it's almost like an Orson Welles kind of hoax of War of the Worlds proportion, but for the comic world. So each one of these represents one dimension of the graphic novel.
So you're saying that it's going to take you a couple lists to prove that you have a wide scope, but it seems to me that you've accomplished this just looking at the six books in your hand here, that this is a very wide variety of topics, age interests.
Now you might say that this might seem like, well, you know, why do you need several lists to show, you know, this the kind of variety when your first list is already this incredible, it's panoramic, but there's more. I mean, we have entries in nonfiction that are coming up. We also have some comics journalism coming up. We have some visual essays in the works. And then we have, of course, you know, stories, remarkable stories.
You can find First Second's first six books in any major bookstore. My personal favorites are Eddie Campbell's Fate of the Artist and Johann Sfar's Vampire Loves.
You've been listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt NPR.